Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I'm really excited to be part of this church. We've been planted and grafted in our church. A little bit about myself before we get into the Word of God. So a little bit about Ali and I. We planted a church called Urban Church about 10 years ago in Perth, Western Australia. And the very first leadership meeting we had, guess who we had at that leadership meeting? Pastor Ken Lee actually said, "Hey, you've got to meet this guy. He's an amazing prophetic voice. You've got to meet him." And so he came in and he prophesied over us. And that started this beautiful relationship over the next 10 years of sometimes 2-3 times a year coming into our church, helping to shape what God was doing in our church. And here we are today, grafted in a part of the Newmark Church family. It is incredible. I'm still pinching myself to see that, wow, this is what God has done. It's absolutely amazing. So, my wife and I, my family, we're in the process of moving here. We're sort of here, but we're not. We're sort of here. We've still got, you know, a few issues with housing and stuff at the moment, but we know without a shadow of a doubt that God has us planted here. And can I say, church, you are so generous. You are so welcoming. You know, one of the values of this church is a covenant family. Covenant family. And I feel that. Our family feels that. You know, each one of my kids have felt it from the very first day we came here. We felt this covenant family. There's just such a warmth that everybody exudes here. Every single service. I'm amazed at just how friendly, how welcoming you guys are. So pat yourself on the back. Say, hey, well done. You're friend. Well done. Well, God's kingdom is expanding. Amen. It's growing. And so when you get on board with what God is doing, your world gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The kingdom is always expanding. At the beginning of this year, you know, some of us, we like to have New Year's resolutions. I like to get words. And at the beginning of the year, again, I didn't know this was all going to happen, but at the beginning of the year, God gave me the word revive, revive. And now I know why. Everything about my life is in revival right now, and everything about this church is in revival. And it's so exciting to see what God is doing. So this morning, the title of my message is The Father's Heart for Revival. The Father's Heart for Revival. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. Jesus, when he was baptized, when John the Baptist came and baptized him, it says here, the heavens were opened to him and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. Behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." The launch of Jesus' ministry was the Father's voice declaring his love over him. And I love, I'm a student of revival. I love studying revivals. I love studying about God's movements and God pouring out his Spirit all across the earth. And what we see is in the last couple of decades, there's been two significant revivals that have happened that have impacted the whole world. And the first one I want to talk about is the Toronto Blessing. Who here has heard of the Toronto Blessing? It was a significant revival that happened. John and Carol Arnett, they were pastors of this church, and God started to speak to them in Toronto, Canada. And God started to speak to them about the Father's heart. And God has started to reveal his heart toward them. And because of that, God's Spirit was poured out over that church. And literally millions and millions across the globe came to that church and were so impacted. And churches were planted and revival was started. Revival fires were started all around the world because of this revelation of the Father's heart. What's interesting is that we called it, you know, the media, the church world, we called it the Toronto Blessing. And it was signified by joy and laughter. People started laughing and there was such a spirit of joy being released. But John Arnott, the pastor, he called it the Father's Blessing, not the Toronto Blessing, but the Father's Blessing. Isn't that interesting? And the second revival that broke out 1994, it was on Father's Day in 1994, and a little church, not all that big, a little church called the Brownsville Assemblies of God. And that church had a breakout of revival, and the Spirit of God fell, and literally millions and millions of people came across from all over the world to visit that church, and there was such an incredible move of God that impacted literally millions of people, and it started on Father's Day. On Father's Day. Isn't that interesting? And I find it very, very fascinating that what we love to call Super Bowl Sunday here in Newman Church, in August last year, Pastor Corey had that encounter with God where he said to God, "Will you father me?" And then he came back on stage and repented of man-made control, and the Spirit broke out all across this place. And literally 15 hours later, the service was still going. And, you know, 12 months later, we're still in this move of the Spirit of God because of what God is wanting to do. So a revelation of the Father's heart, a revelation of the Father's heart. I want to talk to you today about this. You know, when we see in Scripture, we just read this Scripture in the book of Matthew, and it says that in all of the Gospels as well, when the Spirit was poured out, the first thing that God said was, "This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Isn't it interesting that for 400 years, there was silence. 400 years was silence. And the first thing that God said when Jesus came was, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And what happened? Revival broke out. The kingdom broke out. And for the next 3.5 years, revival was poured out. The kingdom was expanded. The voice of the Father thundered when Jesus was baptized. It's the Father's voice. The kingdom was released. You know, the beginning of any significant move of God is a revelation of the Father's heart. The beginning of any significant move of God is a revelation of the Father's heart. The beginning of any significant move of God in your own heart, in your own life, is a revelation of your sonship, is a revelation of your identity, is a revelation of the fact that you're a child of God, you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God. I used to think, you know, when I was first saved, all I wanted to hear the Father say was, "You are my beloved son. You're my beloved son." And you know, he has. You are the beloved. You are the child of God. You're a child of God. You're the son of God. You're a daughter of God. And this is this incredible revelation that I want to park here for a while this morning. I want to speak to you about it. You know, the greatest gift that the Father gave to us was the gift of adoption. Was the gift of adoption. And you know what adoption is? The spirit of adoption, it breaks off the spirit of the orphan. It breaks off the orphan spirit, the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption. That's the greatest gift. You know, we hear this saying that Jesus is perfect theology. How many have heard that saying? We love saying that Jesus is perfect theology. But what does that actually mean? You know, when we look at Scripture, when we read Scripture, everything we read in Scripture must point to Jesus. It must come to Jesus. It must come through to Jesus. All of our theology, all of our Scriptures, all of the verses that we take out of context and everything, it must come to Jesus, because he is perfect theology. He is perfect theology. Jesus came to reveal the Father. He said, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 1:18. And listen to this. John chapter 1 verse 18. It says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared it. Him." Isn't that amazing? It says, "No one has ever seen God except the Son." But hang on, I thought Moses saw God and Elijah and David. Their picture of God was incomplete. It was progressive. It's only Jesus who has the perfect revelation of who God is. Now, this is really, really, really important. When we come to God, this is really important when we think about God. This is really important when we study Scripture and we look at Scripture. We must bring it to Jesus. You know, the Father heart of God, there's more revelation for the Father heart of God for each one of us here this morning. Any picture or perception of God that is not like Jesus is incomplete. If you want to know what the Father's like, just look at Jesus. You know, religion paints a distorted view of God, a totally distorted view of God. So a little bit of my background, a little bit of my story. I'm one of 11, so I've got 10 brothers and sisters. Wow, wow. Okay, 1, 2, 3, wow. So in our family, there's never a dull moment. There's always stuff going on in our family. And we were, you know, we were brought up reading the Bible. And my dad was an amazing man of God. He's passed away now, but he brought us up with the Bible. And every morning and every night, we used to read the Bible and we have to explain it. But here's the thing, and I love and I honor my dad, but he was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. So everything I learnt about Scripture and about the Bible, it didn't come through Jesus. It didn't come with the presence of God. It was religion. It was religion. And how many know religion doesn't save anybody, doesn't do anybody any good? You know, the world is sick of religion. We're all sick of the ways, you know, these are all the ways that we can get to God. It's through Jesus. You know, what's interesting is that in the first service, actually Pastor Corey mentioned this, that God was going after a religious spirit. And I believe that in this service, God is going after this religious spirit again. You know why I know that? Because last night I was woken up in the middle of the night and I had this picture appear in front of me. It was my dad. And he had this look in his face and I knew it was a religious spirit. Now, and it was this intimidation coming against me, this religious thing. And I know that this spirit of religion is coming against the people of God, is coming against the people of God to stop them from encountering the love of God, the love of Jesus. I'm telling you, God is up to something right now. I can feel it in my spirit. I can feel He's after something in your lives. You know, religion is fear motivated, but it only takes you so far. Love is grounded in compassion and kindness. It actually brings you freedom and out of the bondage of fear, because perfect love, come on, perfect love casts out all fear, because fear is to do with punishment. So perfect love casts out all fear. Jesus came to show us how good our God is, how amazing our God is, how loving our God is. God's love is fierce. His love is furious. It's jealous over you. It's fiery over you. He's relentless. He will pursue you. And this is what the Holy Spirit is wanting to reveal to us today, the Father heart of God for you. You know, when you understand how loved you are and how much God loves you, you're restored back to your complete identity as a child of God. You know, arguably the most important aspect of our relationship with God is what we think about Him when we pray. What do you think about God when you pray? When you come to Him, your prayer closet or your time or before you go to bed or in the morning, what do you think about God when you're coming to Him? Do you think He's up there going, right, now let's see if they're going to sort this out. Let's see if this sin, this issue, this weakness. Is that what God is like? What do you think about Him when you pray? His disposition, His heart. What are His thoughts toward you? Do you come begging, saying, God, please, please, because He's up there going... Do you come full of fear about what He thinks about you? Do you feel guilty or shame? Do you think He's a little bit busy? He's maybe answering Pastor Corey's prayer. Is He distant? Is He indifferent? Is He annoyed at you? He's like, oh, I'm so annoyed. Is He disappointed with you? Is He angry with you? Is He arrogant? No, I struggled for years and years and years with this in my prayer life, because the picture I had the picture that I was brought up with from my father, which I honored and I love, but the picture I was brought up with is that he was a distant God. He was a harsh father. He was up there going, right, how many times did you sin? What have you done? And so I live with this unhealthy fear of God. How many know there's an unhealthy fear of God, and then there's a healthy awe and wonder of God? The spirit of adoption in us cries, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. You know, and I understand that there might be people here today and you've had a dysfunctional father, maybe an earthly father who wasn't quite perfect. Maybe you had a great father, but you know what? There's one that is greater. He's our Heavenly Father. He's absolutely perfect. He's absolutely perfect. You know, the orphan spirit, the religious spirit is rampant in society. It's rampant in the church. It manifests through insecurity, through identity confusion, through competition, through fear, control. But when you understand the Father's heart as revealed in Jesus, it changes everything. It changes absolutely everything. When you understand the Father's heart, it changes everything. You know, Jesus' relationship with God was defined by his language of the Father. When the disciples asked him, how do we pray? The first thing he said was, our Father. Our Father, he came to reveal this aspect of God that was so beautiful and intimate and personal and relational. The Father denotes intimacy, origin, protection, authority, security, and identity. And we have been called the children of God. Wow. We've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. So how would you live, make decisions, step in faith, believe and trust God if you knew he was your perfect father? How would you walk? How would you hold yourself knowing that you have a father who is for you? He's not against you. He's personal. He's real. This is how Jesus lived. The first thing the Father thundered out was, you are my beloved son. This is my beloved son in whom is my delight. My delight. And that's what the Lord is saying to you this morning. You're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter in whom I delight, in whom my happiness is in. The Father loves you. The Father accepts you. The Father forgives you. He sees you. He empowers you. He revives you. He emboldens you. As I'm saying this, do you feel any resistance in your heart? This is probably the most powerful scripture on identity. The beloved son, the beloved daughter. We are the beloved. I am the beloved. You know, we're believing for revival. We're believing to be good stewards of what God's doing here. But first, we need to play our part in seeing it, in preparing and posturing our hearts for this revelation. The Father heart of God. So what is the Father like? And we see it all through Jesus. We see it all through Scripture. The Father is kind. He's not harsh. He's kind. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's not mean, not abusive, not angry. Jesus was never angry. He's generous. He's not stingy. He gives good gifts. Amen. He gives the Holy Spirit. He wants to bless us. He's safe. He's not dangerous. Some of us might have had full-on situations in our past or in our lives with our family situation, with our father, but the Heavenly Father, he's not dangerous. He's safe. There are angels round about you. You've been assigned angels, each one of you. The Father is present. He's not distant. He's ever-present. He's our ever-present help. He's got a listening ear. He's intimate. He's revealing. He won't abandon you. Bible says, call unto me and I will answer you. He is near. He is near to us. You're never alone. Are you getting this into your spirit this morning? I want you to get this into your heart and your spirit this morning, because some of us might have heard this before and we give mental assent to this. But is this reaching deep down into the depths of our heart and our spirit and our soul? Is it transforming us? There's more layers. There's more layers. There's more layers that the Father's love and heart wants to get. The Father is present. The Father is present. The Father is powerful. He's all-powerful. He's not arrogant, but He's all-powerful. All-seeing, all-knowing. He's strong. The Father is just. He's not mean. He doesn't have favorites. He's just. He's, you know, the law of sowing and reaping. He's just. He's graceful. He's good. He knows what you need. He knows what's good for you. He knows what to withhold from you because He's perfect. All His ways are perfect. Hello? Every single thing He does, every single thing He's maybe doesn't do, it's good. It's good for you. All His ways are perfect. The Father is forgiving. He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't count up your sins. No, He doesn't. He forgets them. He doesn't remember sin. The Father is loving. He's holy. He's loving. He's gentle. He's graceful. He's healing. And the Father is personal. He's not impersonal. He's personal. He calls you by name. He knows your name. He knows every single detail of your life. He's affirming. He's proud of you. He's cheering you on, saying, come on, come on. You can do it. You know, I overcame the harshness of an unloving father. My dad, like I said, he loved us in his own way, but unfortunately he brought us this religion that didn't do anything. You know, at 16, I left home. Long story short, I got involved in drugs, became a drug addict, lived in the laundry of a house. And then I had an encounter with Jesus. And He radically saved me and set me free. And I was born again, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the presence of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and everything changed. All the scriptures that started, that I'd been, you know, taught as a child started to come to life because of the Spirit of God. You know, religion taught me to be scared of God and to cringe when I did something wrong because He was going to come after me. Religion taught me that God was angry with me. But you know, anger in scripture, listen to this, it's a metaphor for God's order of consequence. Of reaping what you sow. But Jesus came to demonstrate the Father's love by forgiving us, canceling the debt of sin. The wages of sin is death. The consequence of a selfish, violent life lived is death. But Jesus died in your place. Amen. He overcame death. He absorbed all the cruelty and the suffering of the cross and forgave the Romans, the Jews, us. God was in Christ on the cross. God didn't kill Jesus. Jesus laid down His life. God was in Christ on the cross. God became man, lived among us. He gave His life for us so that we can be free from the enslavement of sin, the devil, and ourselves. Man, what good news! This is good news. This is great news. God reconciled us to Himself. God was in Christ on the cross. This is this beautiful picture of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, even growing up, I had this revelation, even as a young Christian, of Jesus and the fact that He'd saved me, of the Holy Spirit, and He'd baptized me. But the Father, you know, he's out, you know, he's a little bit full on, a little bit strong, and I've got to fear Him. I've got to watch out if I do something wrong. Then I started to have this revelation of the Father's heart, and it all happened to me in 2017. And it happened when my dad had heart disease. And my relationship with my dad, I used to always argue with him. Who here argues with your parents sometimes? Come on, be honest. But, you know, I had been born again, Spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had this beautiful revelation of the love of God, and I started to talk to my dad about it. And we used to argue heaps. We used to really butt heads against each other, and we used to, you know, pull out the Bible, and he had this Bible, and it had all, you know, he knew the Bible back to front, and, you know, we used to have these great, awesome arguments. But for some reason, there was a veil across his eyes when it came to the Father heart of God. And it was quite fascinating to see. And he passed away in July the 17th in 2017. And I remember at that moment, I was just so devastated because my dad had never encountered the love of the Father. He'd never encountered this beautiful God who absolutely loved him, that was not just a God of words on a paper, but it was a personal, real God, a real Father. You see, the evidence of the Holy Spirit in someone's life is not only power and grace and anointing, it's intimacy. It's intimacy. God wants to break off the orphan spirit this morning. Fear, punishment, anxiety, that's the orphan spirit. The enemy will always go after your identity. You don't belong, you're not loved. He will distort your understanding of God. He will distort it, your perception of God. And this is what is happening in this whole generation, this fatherless generation. We talk about the father wound. You know, and everybody has that wound and needs to work through. God wants to heal that today. I believe every single social issue that we're dealing with today is either directly or indirectly related to the father issue. Yeah. Gender confusion happening today is largely related to father issues. You know, they say that nearly 80% of teen pregnancies come from fatherless homes. 70% of people in prisons come from fatherless homes. But Jesus has come to redeem. He's come to heal. He's come to restore. He can heal that father wound. There's always grace and opportunity for transformation. There's no shame or condemnation in Christ. You know, we all need provision, presence, praise. They're the things that we need as children. But, you know, Jesus, because he understood and he received and he walked in his true identity as the Son of God, he didn't get offended, he didn't get disappointed. Why? Because his validation didn't come from what he did. His validation came from the Father's voice. You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Before he did anything, before he performed any miracle, the Father affirmed him, loved him, was delighted in him. You know, when Jesus arrived in human history, he brought an entirely different revelation of God that the Israelites had never experienced before. Their whole history of God was Yahweh, was Jehovah. And Jesus came to reveal this revelation of God as a father. Listen to this, John 14, verse 8. Philip, the disciple, said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." Jesus answered and said, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am the Father. I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." You know, this call is going out still today. Lord, show us the Father. Reveal to us the Father. And he has Jesus. When we look at Jesus, that's why, you know, I could almost say for every single sermon that I preached at our last church. 10 years. I couldn't get out of the Gospels. I couldn't get out of Jesus. I couldn't stop talking about Jesus. Couldn't stop talking about who Jesus is, what God's like, the revelation of the Father heart of God. You know, his thoughts define you. He thinks about you. Guilt and shame are not from God. Conviction leads you to God. It's beautiful. The conviction of God, when God puts his finger on stuff in your life, it's so that he wants to reveal himself to you even more and more. It's to bring you closer to him. The spirit of adoption breaks off the spirit of rejection. This is the greatest truth that Jesus came to reveal, the heart of the Father, what God is like, who God is. You know, God is wanting us to step into our full identity here this morning, and God wants to break off the spirit of rejection. God wants to reveal himself to you this morning as a loving Father. He's got plans and purposes for your life, but more than that, he desires intimacy with you, relationship with you, closeness with you. There's no fear in that. There's no punishment in that. Only boldness to come into his throne room. Ask whatever you want. Let's get the worship team up here this morning. I want to close with this. A couple of weeks after my dad died, I had a dream because I was so affected by his death and the fact that he had never experienced the loving embrace of a father. And, you know, his background was he never knew his dad. And he left home when he was 16. Interesting. I had a dream 2 weeks after he died. And in this dream, I saw my dad, and he was sitting down. He was sitting down in a place called Forest Field. It was a house that I was born in. And he had his Bible open. And I've got his Bible at home, and it's this old Bible, and it's got all of these marks on it, and it's held together by sticky tape, and you know, there's lines and markings all over it, and he was scribbling on it, and he had all of these mathematical equations. And he was looking at me and he was saying, "Steve, I'm trying to work out who God is." And I looked at him and I had such pity and such love for him. And I said, "Dad, he's a father. He's Daddy God." And he looked at me and he said, "Steve, I know who God is. He's Papa God." Yeah. And as he said that, his face, he's got a beard, and his face changed to from an old man into a little boy's face. And he said, "I now know who God is. He's a loving Papa." And I woke up and I wept. And all the unforgiveness that I had in my heart for my dad was gone in a moment. All of the stress and the striving and the tension that I had for my dad was gone in an instant. Because God revealed his heart, his father heart, to him and to me. Forgiveness flowed like a river. And I woke up. I just said, "Thank you. Thank you, Father."
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.